Welcome to episode 45 of the Life as a Visual Creative. What is the name of this podcast? Oh, I'm not starting again. This is the fifth time I've started this recording. It's one of those days where I just can't quite get it right. And perfectionists, creatives, eh? I don't know. Anyway, do you ever have that? You just start something and over again, and you just can't get it right. Well, I'm going to persevere this time, because this is crazy. Anyway, welcome to episode 45 of the Life of a Visual Storyteller podcast. My name is Roger Overall, and I'm a visual creative based in Cork in Ireland. I am the creative director and co-founder of a company called Show and Tell Communications. Now, I'm going to talk about something that I think we all recognize as creatives, and it is, for professional creatives, one of the greatest fears that we have, because it impacts directly on our ability to make a living as creatives. And it is this: what do you do when you're not getting enough business? And why are you not getting enough business? It's inspired by a question that was sent to me by a photographer, and I recorded a personal message back to them. But actually, it raised a number of issues that I thought you might recognize or be interested in hearing about as well. So I'm just going to talk about the underlying causes of not having enough work, what might be going on. Now, I'm not saying this is an exhaustive list, and I'm also not saying I'm right. These are just my thoughts. If you have thoughts, I would love to hear from you at roger@showandtellcommunications.net. So why might you not be getting enough work? Well, one of the things might be that the number of people with whom your work resonates just isn't large enough to sustain you. So there is a pool of clients out there, and not all of them like you, like what you do. Some of them do, of course, absolutely. But do enough of them? Does your work resonate with enough people to sustain you in your career? And I've experienced this myself, where the niche that I'd carved out for myself at a certain point became too small, and that the number of people who were interested in what I had to do and what I had to say and how I could help them had just become unsustainably small. That can happen. There are trends in business, and there are moments where what you do is very popular, and how you do it and how you bring that to the world, you might find that you just connect with a lot of people at a particular moment in time. And then that might subside simply because something else is more in vogue. And it's not because you're less clear about what you do, or it's not because you're rubbish at what you do. It's just that the market, the number of people who want what you do and want what you do the way you do it, has just become too small. So that's one. It may also be that you just haven't articulated very well what it is that you do. You may not have figured out your vision of the world, and you may not have honed your voice enough so that you're not distinct enough from other creatives in the market that you're serving. And of course, then it's very easy for people just to pass you by and go somewhere else, because they don't see you. They don't pick you out of the crowd. You're just part of a mishmash, maybe a greyish brew of creatives, and you're not standing out simply because, again, nothing to do with your ability as a creative and nothing to do with your skills and how good you are, but simply because you're not either not able to articulate why you're different. You're not able to articulate your particular way of viewing the world, your particular vision, your particular voice. Or it might be that you haven't got to the point that you even know what those are. You don't know how you see the world. You don't know what your message is. And you don't know what your voice is. In other words, you don't know in what way you want to communicate that stands apart. Let me just give you a concrete example of what I mean by that. So as a photographer, my vision of the world when I was exclusively a photographer was a very documentary vision, a very authentic vision, if you like. I wanted to tell people's genuine stories, genuine history, no posing, no reenacting, just photograph their lives, getting a slice of their history became very important to me for very personal reasons. And the way I articulated that, the way I expressed that, if you like, as a photographer, my voice, if you like, is that I used a lot of wide angle shots. And I really wanted to include surroundings and context. And that became my vocabulary. That became my voice, if you like, the voice in which I expressed the vision of genuine history was expressed a lot through a voice that was expansive because I showed a lot of context. I hope that makes sense. I'm recording this barely after my first cup of coffee. So maybe I'm not articulating myself very well. Anyway, so yes, you might just not have figured out your voice, your vision and your voice, or you might not be expressing that very well. And therefore, people are just not seeing you. They're passing you by. They think you are the same as everybody else. Or then they think you're not what they're looking for, even though you might well be, but because you're not expressing that, you're not giving them the information they need to go, you are the one I want. So maybe you're just a little bit invisible. Maybe that's why people are passing you by in favor of other creatives. Let me just take my notes here. I did do some preparation and my head's just gone to mush. Let me just see. Okay, so maybe it could also be that you're just charging too much. Now, this is a difficult one. This is a difficult one. So it might just be that you are really good at what you do and that you are visible, that people can see you, that you have articulated very well what it is you do. And it may well be that it really appeals to people. It could just be then that they can't afford you, that they would love to hire you, but they can't. Now, pricing is very tricky because what you don't want to do is just to drop your prices to get the business, because then you're inviting people who are shopping around based purely on price. And they're not going to value what you do. And even worse, they're not going to get what they need because they haven't taken the time really to make sure that they're connecting with the proper kind of creative. They're really just connecting with the cheapest creative, whether or not they are the most suitable creative. The other thing is, if you drop your prices, then you might enter into the realms of, well, can you even sustain yourself? What's your business model? If your business model is that you need a certain amount of income, therefore you need to charge a certain amount of money over X number of projects to make that money, to make the money you need, it might just be that you can't. You're going to have to figure out something else out in terms of pricing. You're going to have to figure out what else you might be able to do, because you know the money that you need to make. Only you know your circumstances, and you can't look at what other creators are charging because you don't know their circumstances. You don't know if they're good at business even. But what you don't know is their home situation. Maybe their spouse has an income. Maybe they are independently wealthy. All these things play into how they charge. And you can't take the prices that somebody else charges to build your own business, because you have your own peculiar set of circumstances and the money that you need to make. However, that said, obviously, if you are outrageously more expensive than everybody else, then there is a discrepancy, because people do let themselves be informed about what something costs by looking at what other people are charging. And if you're outrageously more expensive than what people think the general pricing is, then you're going to run into some issues, and you'll need to be able to explain why you're that much more expensive. If you're a little bit more expensive, people will obviously tolerate that. And they'll tolerate it even more if you are a lot cheaper than everybody else. But like I say, that does open up the door to people who are just shopping around on price, with all the ancillary problems that brings with it. So is that four? Let me just see. You're too expensive, maybe. Your niche is too small. You're not communicating properly, or you haven't figured out your voice and your vision. The other thing is, and it ties in with voice and vision, maybe you're just copying. Maybe you're just the same as everybody else. And of course, that then also contributes to you being invisible. Maybe what you do is just so samey. Maybe you're at the point in your career where you haven't yet figured out who you are, but or maybe you have, but you're afraid of actually expressing that. And the safest option then seems to be, well, do what everybody else is doing. And you may even be articulating really well what everybody else is doing. But fundamentally, if you're still doing what everybody else is doing, you're invisible. And maybe there's somebody who's just doing what everybody else is doing a fraction better. And that's why they're getting the work. Who knows? Certainly, what I know from experience is if you go down the route of doing what everybody else is doing, then you do end up purely being selected purely on price. Because if the customer can't or the client can't distinguish between you and three other people, because you're all doing the same thing, then they're going to look at price. It's the only thing they can look at. It's the only thing they can look at is price. So, yeah, just don't make sure that what you're offering is different enough from what other creatives in your marketplace, that there is a distinction between what you do and what they do, and that you articulate that distinction. Finally, well, actually, no, there are two more points I'd like to touch upon. One is, are you knocking on enough doors? Are you out there enough? Because it might be a case that people are passing you by, but if you were just reaching more people would buy from you. So it's a case of, and I mean, I'm terrible at this, and I think a lot of creatives, we like to do the creative bit, but the business side is hard. And sales, oh my goodness, sales, that's really hard as a creative. So are you knocking on enough doors? Are you connecting with enough people? And I think most of us, if we're honest as creatives, probably aren't. We're probably not connecting with enough people. And one of the things that we really need to do is become disciplined in knocking on doors, sending out mailers, sending out emails, showing new work, finding people we want to work with, and then tracking them down and somehow making a connection with them so that we can get that work. It's a numbers game almost. We need to be out there as much as possible, because if you look at it on a scale of having no work, but then also never going out and trying to get business, to always being out there trying to get business, there's going to be a correlation, isn't there? There's going to be a connection between how much effort you put in to finding new work. And by that, I mean, you know, you have to be honest, and I'll admit myself, I'm really bad at this. Being on social media, for instance, isn't necessarily a good use of your sales and marketing time. Actually finding a company you want to work with, finding the person within that company, and then approaching them is a much better use of your time. Cold calling would almost be a much better use of your time. So, you know, are you identifying the people you want to work with, and are you reaching out to them enough? And then the last one I want to talk about is, it's almost the elephant in the room, isn't it? It's almost the one that we don't want to even think about. And it's this. Maybe you're not getting the work because you're not good enough. Maybe you're just rubbish at what you do. And we all have that. We all have an element of as creatives that we think we're not good enough. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the little voice at the back of your head that tells you you're rubbish and that you're useless and that your work isn't as good as everybody else's and that you don't deserve to be able to make a career out of your creativity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Not talking about that voice. That voice is an idiot. And you should not listen to that voice. That is the voice of doubt and the voice of fear. And it's your little lizard brain kicking in and trying to protect you from taking risks and endangering yourself. So what I'm talking about is that you might be delusional And let me just turn that into looking at me. And, you know, I'm struggling at the moment to get a new business going. And one of the reasons could be that I am just terrible, that I'm an awful creative, that I'm absolutely atrocious. So at what point do you look at yourself and go, okay, am I being delusional in this? I don't know. I think it's a really tricky question. One thing that crops up in a conversation with my mentor recently was this concept of having enough information. When do you have enough information to decide whether or not you should continue? And that it's a very useful concept, I have to say, because it allows you to set parameters on which you can base a decision about whether or not to continue with whatever it is that you're doing. It doesn't necessarily have to be a creative endeavor or a business thing. It could be any activity that you are or any goal that you're working towards, and it's just not happening. And you can set parameters for the data that you need, the data points that you need to make a solid decision about whether or not to continue. And in terms of, are you good enough? In terms of, am I good enough to do what I do? I've recently made the decision, along with my mentor, because, like I say, this cropped up, just to get more information, just to get more data. And my own tactic will be to look at the situation at the end of this month, January of 2016, and make a decision about continuing on into February of 2016, and on a month-by-month basis. And you could do that on a day-by-day basis if you wanted to, a week-by-week basis. But the reason I've chosen the month-by-month basis is I will, at each step of the way, have useful data points that will allow me to make the decisions that I need to make. And the decision can be, will I continue for one more month? Will I continue for one more week? Or will I continue indefinitely? Or will I stop? Will I just stop? How do you know that the work that you're doing is good enough? Well, I think the most powerful data point is when you get a commission, when you get an assignment to create something. So if you are getting lots and lots of assignments, then of course, there's lots and lots of data points that are pretty reliably telling you that what you are doing is good. If you're not getting any bookings, one of the things might be that you're just not good enough, but there are so many other factors at play that may also not be the case either. You don't know. Certainly, if people are seeing you and they're booking you, I think there's a very good indication that the creative thing that you're doing is of a standard that people are willing to pay for and that people want. So those are just some thoughts about, yeah, not getting enough business and what might be the underlying causes, and a couple of solutions, I hope, along the way. If I've missed out anything, or if you think I'm wrong, or if you have other suggestions, do let me know. roger@showandtellcommunications.net. roger@rogeroverall.net will also find me. If you are seeing this on Audioboom, leave a comment. If you are seeing this on YouTube, and I don't know yet that I'm going to put it on YouTube with a little cartoon, but I may as well build in the insurance that I am going to do that, then leave a comment in the comment section, and it would just be useful. It would just be useful to know whether you have any other suggestions as to what might be going on if creatives aren't getting the business that they want to get. Even more useful would be solutions. What suggestions do you have for people who are finding it difficult? We're a community. That's the idea of this podcast. So the more we can help each other to sustain ourselves as creatives, the better we'll all be, or the better off we'll all be. Thanks for listening. And I'll talk to you again soon. Come in, come in. It's been a while. Now, I'm going to keep this super short. And the reason for that is I'm not sure about how interesting this bit of the podcast is to people. I do believe health and fitness is very important for us as creatives. I think the healthier we are, the fitter we are, the better our bodies are working, and therefore the more able we are in our creative work. But I don't know. What I do want to do is, if this is the last one, I do want to bring you up to date, or the last podcast with this particular segment in it. I do want to bring you up to date with where I am with my fitness. I was, maybe you know, maybe you don't, going to try and do a Ironman distance triathlon next year, 2017, and an ultra marathon this year in 2016. Well, I've decided not to do the Ironman triathlon next year. The commitment is just too much, and it seemed like a good idea. I felt I was going to be able to do it, but the training commitment is just going to be beyond what I'm going to be able to commit to. Equally, the ultra marathon that I was going to do this year, I'd identified one with a friend of mine in Holland. It was a 53-kilometer trail run through the Ardennes in Belgium, a really tough ultra marathon, simply because of the elevation and the terrain. And the registration opened on the 6th of January, just gone, and they bumped up the distance to 65 kilometers. And that's just too much. Even my friend, who is an experienced ultramarathon athlete, he was saying that's maybe too much for him even, let alone somebody like me, who's really only started running seriously again in the last 6 to 8 months. I'd also hit a plateau with my running. I just don't seem to be able to get beyond the half marathon distance. And I think I just need to scale it back a bit in terms of training and build it up a little bit more slowly. I'd made great strides, no pun intended. But I think I'd try to do too much too soon. And I'm starting to feel it now in my body. So I'm just going to scale it back. I'm hoping to run a marathon this year. That will be the extent. And I say hoping because, having already publicly committed to doing two other major events and then having to pull out, I'm going to be a little bit more circumspect in this particular instance. So there you go. That's where I am. I've lost the weight. I'm struggling to shift the last, say, 10 kilos for some reason. But that's where I am at the moment. And if this is the last segment that I do on this particular topic, then at least you're up to date. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. I will talk to you again soon. Bye.